believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Central Illinois, earned a law degree from Harvard, serves on the board of Prison Fellowship Ministries, and speaks across America as a public advocate for chastity before marriage. In 2003, she became our 77th Miss America, promoting the national platform, Preventing Youth Violence and Bullying. Protect yourself, respect yourself. Her name, Erica Harold. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Crisula on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's Jack.
We're with Miss Erica Harold, Miss America from 2003. Erica, honored to have you. Thanks for coming on.
It's an honor to be with you.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your parents?
Absolutely. I had an extraordinary family. My mother taught me at home, actually, through fourth grade. And then she entered the workforce, and she was a trainer for foster parents and worked with a lot of young people who were in foster care. And that experience really taught me the importance of making your life count and reaching out to other people. I had the opportunity to interact with some of the kids that she worked with, and my mother was just a prime example of someone who was compassionate and kind and blended justice and mercy.
What did your dad do, and what did your dad teach you?
My father owns a small satellite installation company, and my father was someone who always believed in me unconditionally. He's the person who, if I ever was facing some sort of difficulty or challenge, he would encourage me not to give up, to keep believing in myself, and he supported me unconditionally. And both of my parents really gave me that unconditional support. And I think that that's one of the greatest gifts that a parent can give a child, the feeling that no matter what you do, if you try your best, even if you fail, they'll be proud of you.
You mentioned that your mom was a foster parent trainer.
Yes.
As well as a college counselor.
Yes.
So you came in contact with a number of foster kids.
Yes, I did.
What did you learn from those foster kids?
I was in awe of most of them because their backgrounds were so different from mine. Many of them came from very broken homes. Their entire lives they'd been mistreated. People made them feel as if they had no value. But yet they found something or some reason to keep struggling to survive. And I was really inspired by that because whenever I would feel like I was facing difficult circumstances, I would just watch the way in which they dealt with whatever circumstances they were battling. And I drew inspiration from that. And I also recognized that I had a responsibility to try to make a difference in the world because I've always believed that to whom much is given, much is required. And watching what their backgrounds were like in comparison to mine, I felt like I really did have an extraordinarily blessed life, and it inspired me to try to make a difference.
When you were Miss America, Erica Harold, in 2003, your national platform was Preventing Youth Violence and Bullying. Protect yourself, respect yourself.
Yes.
Why is the issue of bullying so important to you?
The issue of bullying is so important to me because of my own background. When I was in the ninth grade, I was the victim of severe racial and sexual harassment. And it started out with name-calling and teasing and taunting, escalated to vandalism of my family's home. We had to call the police to our home about 8 different times that year. Ultimately, it culminated in a death threat. And the school officials didn't take it as seriously as I would have liked them to. And I know firsthand what it feels like to go to school every day and be mistreated, be targeted, and be made to feel as if you don't have much value. And when I became Miss America, I wanted to try to focus on something that I knew a lot of young people would be able to relate to. And statistics show that so many young people go to school, they're bullied, and it undermines their sense of confidence and self-esteem. And I wanted this Miss America to be relevant to their lives. I wanted to be able to speak to young people and tell them that no matter what anybody says about you, you have to believe in yourself and you can't let yourself be defined by the words and negativity of others.
All right, that's the advice you would give to somebody who's being bullied. What should bystanders do? Parents or fellow students? What advice would you give the bystanders?
That's such a great question and a really tough issue, because most people aren't necessarily going to be the one who's targeted every day, and they're not going to be the bully every day, but they will be the one who sees that happening, whether it be in their school or watching their child. And I advocate that people act in a morally courageous way, that they choose first and foremost not to laugh and not to participate in the bullying, but they also recognize they have a responsibility and an obligation to stand up for other people. And it could be actively trying to stop the bullying from happening, or it could be in more simple ways, such as befriending someone. I was speaking to a group of young people just a couple of days ago, and I was speaking to them about the importance of, if you see someone in a lunchroom, for example, and you see them sitting by themselves with no one to talk to, invite them to sit with you. Take small steps to show kindness and to show people that they have value and dignity. And for parents, the biggest piece of advice I would give is to recognize that if your child is being bullied, they probably are not going to come home and tell you. They're going to feel a profound sense of shame, the same kind of shame that I felt, feeling that somehow you must have done something to bring it on yourself and that it's your responsibility to try to make it better. And a lot of times kids will feel like if they explain to their parents what's happening, their parents will be disappointed in them. And so I encourage parents to really be proactive, to try to take notice of some of the signs of bullying in their kids. It could be things such as their child's group of friends is changing. It could be their child is trying to stay home from school. Their child has a lot of unexplained ailments and things of that nature. If you start to see those things, those are definite indicators that bullying might be occurring, and you have to be proactive and talk to the teachers and be really vigilant about being your child's champion.
We're talking to Miss Erica Harold. When we come back, we'll ask her about how she ever got into beauty pageants. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR, brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Once again, here's your host, Jack Rasula.
Welcome back. We're with Miss Erica Harold. Erica, you're in Champaign-Urbana.
Yes.
Why did you ever enter a beauty pageant?
It's a great question. Well, I actually did not grow up competing in pageants. So people who are listening who may have watched a pageant movie, something like Miss Congeniality, they probably have in their mind this idea of someone who started pageants at the age of six and was on the beauty pageant circuit forever. And that's completely different from my experience. I entered my first pageant when I was in college because I needed money to pay for school. And I saw an ad in our newspaper and saw that there was going to be a scholarship pageant and the winner would win some money to go towards their education. And so I'm the oldest of four. My parents weren't in a position to pay for all of us to go to college. And I thought this would be a fantastic way of earning some money. I have to be honest, though, I was really nervous about doing this at first because it wasn't really something I ever envisioned myself doing. And so I didn't really tell anyone that I was entering because I thought if this goes terribly, I don't want there to be any witnesses. But it ended up being a fantastic way of not only earning money to pay for school, but also it gave me a great platform to reach young people. The main job of being a title holder is to pick issues that are important to you and to travel around and speak. And when I was in college, I was also starting to speak to young people, and I recognized that winning the pageant would be a great vehicle for getting the opportunity to go into schools and being able to play a role in young people's lives.
The first two times you entered Miss Illinois, 1999 and 2000, you lost.
I did. And the second time that I lost was really discouraging to me because I felt that I had done everything that I could, and I really couldn't think of ways in which I could have changed what I did to prepare. And so I really almost walked away from the dream of becoming Miss America. I thought, well, perhaps it's just not something that I will be able to do well, and maybe I should try to pursue something else. But it was after I was accepted to Harvard Law School and recognized that I really needed some money to pay for it, I decided to give the Miss Illinois and Miss America pageant one last try. I told my parents, I'm going to enter the pageant, and not only do I have to win Miss Illinois, but I have to win the Miss America pageant because that's going to be my way of paying for school. I had no backup plan, so if I didn't win, I would probably be sitting here $175,000 in debt, but fortunately that didn't happen.
So you win Miss Illinois in June of 2002, and then yes. On the evening of September 21st, 2002, Miss America pageant. Erica Harrell, take us back to that evening.
That is one of the most surreal evenings of my life. I remember waking up that morning, and my first hope was that I would make the top 15 because I knew family and friends would be there, and I wanted them to get to see me do something beyond just introduce myself on television. But I had this sense that if I did better than just make the top 15 and if I actually ended up winning, that my entire life was going to change. And so all morning and all afternoon, I had this nervous feeling of anticipation, butterflies in my stomach, really hoping that it could happen, but not wanting to let myself completely commit to wanting to become Miss America in that way. And then as the telecast opened and I made the top 15 and kept advancing, in the back of my mind, I kept thinking this could actually happen for me. And then I advanced to the top 5 and had the opportunity to do my talent on national television, which was a dream come true. I sang an aria from the opera Carmen. And that was one of the most exhilarating moments of the evening because I love music, and having the ability to share my talent with family and friends who were there and people who might be tuning in was such an honor and such a privilege.
All right, you get down to it's down to you and Miss Alabama.
Yes.
And Wayne Brady's there, and Julie Moran's there, and Miss Alabama's name is Scarlett Dupree.
Correct.
There's no way you can beat Scarlett Dupree from Miss Alabama.
She's a scripted Miss America.
And they announce you as the winner. What did you do? What did you think?
It took me a couple of moments to even let the news sink in that I had won, because I hadn't really allowed myself to envision that moment, and then all of a sudden it was upon me. And it took me a few moments to really realize, did I just become Miss America? And then when they started to put the crown on my head and I saw my parents come up towards the runway, I realized this was actually coming true for me. But in the midst of all that excitement, I felt an incredible sense of peace because I remember when it was just the two of us standing there, I had said a silent prayer. And ordinarily when I'd prayed, I was really hoping for a certain outcome. But this time around, I really felt that whatever outcome God had for me would be the best for me. And so I prayed, "Thy will be done." And I really meant it. No matter what happened, I really felt it would be God's best for my life. And so as I started walking down that runway, I told myself, try to remember everything that's happening because don't let this moment become a blur. So I can remember looking out at family and friends who were cheering in the crowd, watching media taking pictures, and trying to really come to terms with the fact that I just became Miss America. And the really exciting thing was at the end of the runway, my parents were there. They decided this year they would let parents come up and greet you for the first time. And getting to see the look on my parents' face of just pure joy was priceless. Because this was something they had supported me in unconditionally, and I think they were even more thrilled than I was.
What was the greatest experience, Erica, during your one-year reign as Miss America?
Probably the greatest experience, and there were many, but the greatest was probably the work that I did with the troops. I had the opportunity to do quite a bit of work with the USO, supporting the troops and their families, and I visited a medical hospital where some of the troops who had been injured had just returned, and I had the opportunity to thank them in person at the hospital for their courage and their sacrifice. And I would say that morning, paying those visits to the troops was a changing moment in my life because I recognized firsthand the tangible price of freedom and the sacrifice that was being made on my behalf. And it was an honor to be able to thank them in person for their sacrifice and for the way in which they courageously defended our country and our freedoms.
Who was the most impressive person you've met through being Miss America?
The most impressive person I've met is Chuck Colson, the founder of Prison Fellowship Ministries. And it was such an honor to meet him because I had read his books when I was a teenager, and reading his books really shaped my faith and really challenged me to try to live it out actively. And so he was someone that I would consider to be kind of the great leaders of faith and Christianity today in America. And it never occurred to me after reading his books that I would have the opportunity to meet him in person and work with him. But one of the things that most struck me when I first met him is he has this incredible sense of humility. That it, even though he's one of the most well-known Christians probably in the world, he still has this sense of being honored that God chooses to use him. And he has this incredible curiosity about the lives of other people. And it was such an honor to work with him, and I'm more inspired each time I get to interact with him.
We're talking to Erica Harold, Miss America of 2003. When we come back, we'll ask her what she does every year when the new Miss America is crowned. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Presented by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
We're talking to Miss Erica Harold, who in 2007 graduated from Harvard Law School. Quite an achievement.
Thank you.
Every year now, when you watch the Miss America pageant, what do you do when it comes down to those final two and they name the new Miss America?
Well, I reminisce a little bit because I think no matter where I am watching that moment, which is kind of iconic in our nation's culture, brings me back to that moment that I described to you earlier of what I remembered feeling when I was standing there. But then I also feel really excited for the person who's about to be crowned because her life will change in ways that she can't even imagine. So I hope that she's ready for it. And I always hope that the right person wins. I hope that the person who is most compassionate, most kind, and really cares about not just young people, but about being a role model for all Americans, I hope that she's crowned. And then I just hope that her parents are ready to not get to talk to her that often during the year, and that her friends and family will cut her some slack if she can't always return phone messages.
The tiara, do you get to keep it? And if so, where is your tiara?
I do get to keep it. So even though you crown the next person, they always give a new crown for you to crown her, and you get to keep yours wherever you'd like to. Now, I don't wear it around anymore. I don't sleep in it or anything like that, but I actually have it on my mantle, and I use it when I go to speak in schools. And what I often do is I do mock crownings of kids. I will crown them Miss and Mr. America. And I remember crowning one young man in a middle school. He was actually so excited at the prospect of being crowned Mr. America that he actually passed out on the stage. I have to tell you, though, it's not the young people who most enjoy trying on the crown. It's actually, believe it or not, middle-aged men. For some reason, the idea of wearing the Miss America crown and having that moment and also having a picture they can send to their friends and family is something that men across America seem to really enjoy. I haven't quite figured it out, but I'm happy to be of assistance.
Not men from the south side of Chicago.
Probably not.
When you speak to youth groups,
yes,
on youth violence and bullying, respect yourself, protect yourself, what's the basic message?
The basic message is that nobody deserves to be targeted or persecuted in that way, and that you owe it to yourself to stand up for yourself and protect not only your physical self, but to protect the unique talents and attributes that God has given you. I know for a lot of young people who are bullied, their first sense is that they must have done something wrong, they need to change something about themselves, and they need to try to conform to the standards and expectations of other people. And my message to them is that everybody, no matter what their background, deserves to be treated with respect and dignity. And you should not have to try to change who you are to please other people. And that you have to stand up for who you are, and you have to stand up for the talents that God has given you. God makes each of us unique, each of us different. And if we try to change that, we're actually violating the incredible creation that he's made.
Let me quote you. My personal commitment to abstinence from drugs, sex, and alcohol, in my opinion, helped me to accomplish many of my goals. Unquote. That's Erica Harold, Miss America from 2003. This is not what kids are hearing.
Indeed.
Explain why you believe that.
Well, I looked back upon the decisions I've made in my life and the ones that I thought were most fundamental. I thought it was the times in which I decided to avoid peer pressure and decide what would honestly be best for my life. And obviously, there's a lot of pressure to be involved in drugs, sex, and alcohol when you're a young person. It's what the media talks about. It's what your peers are going to be talking about. But for me, I looked at each of those behaviors and recognized there could be some serious consequences, whether it be addiction, teen pregnancy, being emotionally involved with someone that wasn't right for me. All of those things could keep me from achieving the type of things that I wanted to in my life. And so I thought it would take my focus off of the things I wanted to achieve and could introduce some consequences that I really wasn't ready to deal with. And so I decided that I was going to stand up for that no matter what anyone else said. And I think the courage that you develop by standing up for what you believe in in spite of what anyone else does really helps you to develop a sense of fortitude and perseverance that serves you well as an adult. Because as you get older, the temptations just get greater. And if you've developed a pattern of saying, no matter what those around me are doing, I'm going to stand up for what I believe in, I think it serves you well.
You're on the board of Prison Fellowship Ministries, Chuck Colson started.
Yes.
Of all the things you could be involved with, why prisons?
For me, it's hard to explain precisely beyond the fact that it's sort of a calling. I'd often read in the Bible about reaching out to what Chuck refers to as the least, the last, and the lost. Those people who have been written off and marginalized in society. And I think prisoners definitely represent one of those groups. People oftentimes lack empathy for those who are incarcerated, and they don't view them as being people that can be rehabilitated or should be reached out to. And I remember reading about, the Bible often references prisoners, and I wondered what my life would look like if I actually reached out to those people that Jesus spoke of in the Bible as being important. And I was invited to actually speak in a prison chapel service in Louisiana, in Angola, Louisiana State Penitentiary. And when I went, I had probably the same kind of anxieties and trepidations that other people would have. I thought, is this going to be a violent place? Are the prisoners going to listen to me? But when I went in there, I saw faith in action in a way that I hadn't really anticipated. I saw a sense of redemption. I saw a sense of God's grace and mercy and how it can transform people's lives. And once I was there, I really felt drawn to this because I thought I could make a difference, not only from my legal background and my interest in justice issues, but also in my desire to share my faith with as many people as possible.
What have these prisoners taught you, Miss America?
They've taught me an enormous amount. The first thing they taught me is don't assume that God can't use you to do something. Because one of the fears I had about going into prisons was that they're going to look at me as a former Miss America and not want to hear anything that I have to say. And I thought I would actually be, it would be detrimental for me to go in. But they were so embracing of me and so appreciative that I took the time to come that it made me realize if you feel like God has called you to do something, you can't let your own ideas of what you would be good at or what you would not be good at keep you from following through with that. They've also taught me a great deal about God's grace and forgiveness. I think we intellectually know that God forgives us and has mercy upon us. But seeing people who live that out as they do in prison inspires me that no matter what we do, we are never too far from God's forgiveness and mercy.
You have tremendous depth and character at a very young age.
Well, thank you. I'm honored to hear you say that.
How?
I would have to attribute it to my parents. They, from a very early age, instilled in me the importance of making the development of your character the most important thing that you do. They introduced me to faith at an early age, but never forced it upon me, and encouraged me to try to develop my own relationship with God and not just rely upon the fact that my parents went to church. And they also encouraged me to be involved in community service and be involved in reaching out to people who might be in worse circumstances than mine. And I think if you get involved in community service at an early age, it gives you a sense of perspective that you wouldn't ordinarily have. You recognize that the world doesn't revolve around you and that it should not revolve around you. And you recognize that ultimately you're defined not by the amount of money you have, not by the titles you win or the degrees you achieve. You're defined by how much you love and how much you serve.
We're talking to Erica Harold, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm, presents Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Miss America from 2003, Erica Harrell. Erica, if there's a young listener tonight who says, how do I get true self-confidence? What do you tell him or her?
That is such a tough issue to struggle with, and I think people struggle with that throughout their entire lives, and there's still times when I lack confidence and hope that I'm able to achieve what it is that I hope to. And I would say the biggest key, especially if you have faith, is self-confidence isn't necessarily confidence in your own ability, but it's confidence in God's ability to use you despite the abilities or inabilities that you have. I know for me that was helpful while I was Miss America, because once I was crowned, I felt this incredible sense of pressure of feeling like I had to live up to other people's expectations of perfection or their ideal of what Miss America should be. But when I realized that for whatever reason, God gave me this opportunity and would use me, I felt confidence in that, that my ability to achieve or not achieve wasn't really based on a talent that I had, but it was about being obedient and being faithful and trusting that God knew what he was doing when he gave me the opportunity.
Your dad is Greek, German, and Welsh. Your mom is Russian, Cherokee Indian, and African American.
A walking UN.
You are a walking UN. Talk about diversity.
Our country is obviously becoming much more diverse. And I think it offers us incredible opportunities to build bridges where opportunities for building those bridges had not existed before. And I can speak in my own life. I think the fact that I've always grown up not necessarily fitting into just one category, it's given me the opportunity to learn about those that come from a variety of backgrounds. And it's given me the opportunity to sort of build bridges between people who may not ordinarily be able to get along. And I know that when I speak to people, having such a diverse background gives me the opportunity to connect with so many different people. And even if you don't come from a racially diverse background, I think having just a diversity of interests, a diversity of perspectives, will give you the opportunity to reach out to people who you might think at first glance we'd have nothing in common.
One of the things that I see about the future of America is you look at some of these young leaders, yourself, Tiger Woods, Barack Obama, it's diversity, and it will continue. At the end of your reign, you wrote a little article about reflections on lessons learned.
Yes.
And you said a couple things. Number one, our lives and talents are useful only to the extent that they are used in the service of others. Please.
Well, I was reflecting upon what I learned during the course of being Miss America, and from the places I visited, visiting with troops, speaking in so many schools, I realized that what I would be defined by was how I impacted other people. That it didn't really matter if I was a good speaker or a good singer or talented in some way, unless those talents and abilities actually made a difference in someone's life. And when I was thinking about the compliments I received during the year that most touched me, it wasn't necessarily if someone thought I was great at something. It was if they felt that I had inspired them in some way. And it was a great life lesson that no matter what you have, if you keep it to yourself and you don't share it with other people, it's really wasted.
Another one you said was, God has a plan for each person, a plan that far surpasses any that we could conceive of ourselves.
In thinking about that, I was reflecting upon the fact that I had so many opportunities that year that I never would have envisioned were possible. And I was thinking about how if you would have asked me 10 years before I was crowned to think of my perfect life, I wouldn't have thought to add some of those experiences because I wouldn't have thought they were possible. But I think if you really trust in the idea that God has a plan for your life, it helps you to not have a limited perspective on what he can do. You may have something that you would like to accomplish with your life, but if you give your life and surrender it to God, he can use you in ways that far surpass anything that you might have envisioned for yourself.
Another one you said is, don't be discouraged or dissuaded by critics.
Well, during my year while I was Miss America, there were some people who didn't want me to focus on abstinence in my presentations. And it would have been really easy to be discouraged by that and decide that, well, slightly controversial, maybe it's something that I should avoid including in my presentations. But I realized that oftentimes in life, if you want to make a difference, people inevitably will criticize you. They will try to dissuade you from following through on that which has been placed on your heart. And sometimes criticism is an indicator that you are moving in the right direction, and you can't be discouraged by that. You actually have to draw inspiration from it.
The last thing you said, Erica Harold, is, in the final analysis, it's between you and God anyway.
That was a theme for me and something I learned throughout my year. As I mentioned earlier, you have this enormous pressure to live up to other people's expectations and expectations that you place on yourself. And inevitably, during the course of your year, there are things that you wish you could have said differently. There are mistakes that you make, and things that if you could go back and change, you would. There are times when you feel misunderstood and you feel judged unfairly. And I think there are times when you judge other people unfairly. But if you realize that in the final analysis, it's God who knows your heart and God who can evaluate the sum of your life and your actions, it gives you the ability, I think, to be more forgiving of yourself and more forgiving of other people, recognizing that we don't always know the circumstances that other people face, and we don't often extend ourselves and other people enough grace. And if you can keep in mind that it really is between you and God, it gives you a sense of peace.
I'm sure there's many listeners tonight that are thinking, you've really encouraged me. I have a dream, a huge dream. I've had doubts. I want to do it. I want to start it. But I'm afraid. Erica Harold, what do you say to those people?
Well, I would encourage them first and foremost by telling them that most of the things that I've done in my life, I've felt that same way. I was afraid of going to Harvard Law School and wondering if I would be able to succeed there. I was afraid of entering the Miss America pageant, wondering if I might fail. But what I would say is that God really has given you talents and abilities, and if you can trust him to guide your life, you don't have to feel that enormous sense of pressure and responsibility to make everything work yourself. And recognize that doubt is something that each one of us has to face. but that you can't give into that doubt and that feeling of fear because it will paralyze you. And especially from a perspective of bullying and facing the negativity of other people, you can't give other people the power to define you and limit your abilities. You have to decide that God has given you gifts. He's created you uniquely. As Psalm said, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That applies to each of us. You have to believe that God knew what he was doing when he gave you the talents and the dreams and go forward with that with assurance.
Last question, Erica Harold. What advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
The best piece of advice I would give to your young listeners is to decide right now what they stand for and at the end of their life what they want people to say about them. And if you can figure out what that is and try to live your life in accordance with that, it will make all of your decisions much easier. For me, it was my faith and knowing that at the end of my life, I'll stand before God, and I want him to say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And for me, that makes most decisions much easier, because even if I'm torn about what to do, keeping in mind what I want to hear God say to me helps me make the right decision. And if you're not a person of faith, think about what values you want your life to embody. Is it kindness? Is it compassion? Is it justice? Is it standing up for other people? Decide what that value is, and then commit yourself to living that out no matter what.
Erica Harold, God really had his paintbrush flowing when he created you.
That is very kind. Thank you.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.